It was good to get everybody back. Our guys went to help. Guys went right to work today. We had some meetings, a little bit of review from the past couple weeks. I had a good practice. Everybody practiced today other than Sharpton, who'll be week to week with the ham, and Eben, who had his appendix removed earlier in the week. Yesterday, the day before, he had his appendix removed. So it'll be week to week for him. And, you know, Lamar was put on IR. Bass is up, so Jared and Willie will handle the defensive ends, obviously. Trevor will be certainly involved, and we'll continue to work with Cornelius and with David during the course of the week. And that's where we are. We got him going today, and it was good practice, good meetings. They'll have off for till Wednesday, and we'll get started on Green Bay.
With Lamar down, when you guys go to the nickel rush situation, what's kind of the ripple effect there in terms of how you'll need to be related?
Well, again, you know, we'll be sitting there with Ego and Willie and Steven and Jeremiah, and we'll work with those guys principally, and we'll see how that evolves again during the course of the week.
Mark, how did the examination process go in terms of finding ways to get guys matched up favorably?
I think that you know, we went through a lot of different things last week and evolved into a plan. The first part of the plan was to educate the guys today on some of the things that we found, which are, you know, in-house things that we think we can do better with, and then continue to work through the week, utilizing some of those things that we picked up along the way. Very similar to last year in terms of trying to improve in certain areas, and I think we did that. And I think that in number one is we all know we've got to move the ball consistently and score on a higher level, and that was a big part of it.
What did you see from Mills today at guard? And just big picture, what about him made you think he was a better fit than moving Ola?
Well, Mike has been playing there. That's number one. So he's starting to get comfortable in that position. And we haven't locked in anything. We did work Jordan at guard today, and thought it went well today for the first time around. He's a, you know, versatile athlete. He's got strong hands. He's obviously a large man, and again, the integrity of the pocket is so important. Having a man of that size to be able to hold it down is, you know, something we want to look into. So that's where we are today.
Would that have been gone if you don't settle on Jordan? What's the other option?
Well, I think that, you know, it's going to – both Jordan and Michael are going to be up certainly in playing. You know, Charles Lamb will be one of those guys that will, you know, have an opportunity, and he's been on the 53, and he'll work a little bit at some of the things that Evan did during the course of the week, and then we'll make a decision how we're going to game plan through the weekend.
So Marquise Wilson did practice?
He did not. He was out. But the guys who practiced, everybody else practiced today. Marcus was out there, but he didn't practice today.
Why is he not practicing?
It's all involved in when they start the clock on this 21 days, and that's part of the process that the trainers go through to put this all together.
So he can't play Sunday? Is that...
I wouldn't anticipate him playing on Sunday.
But was Trevor Scott out there?
Trevor Scott was excused for family reasons today.
Mark, as I understand the CBA rules on the bye week, and admittedly my understanding is incomplete, you have to give the players four consecutive days off.
Yes.
Why the decision to give them six?
Well, I think that it all comes down to recovery. And we felt that they have to have a travel day. They have to have 4 days. It's tied to the weekend. Bringing them back for a Tuesday or Wednesday wasn't going to validate bringing them back. There was other things that we needed to get done, and we wouldn't even have been able to practice on that Wednesday being a travel day.
When you look at Jordan's physical skill set, what lends itself to playing guard?
Well, he has all the skill set to be able to do that. He's got... you know, he's big, strong. He's got long arms. He's quick. There's nothing that normally a player playing at the tackle position is generally as athletic a player as you have in the offensive line. So to move him inside and still have that skill set is, he's got all the tools necessary to play the position, certainly. And we're gonna take a good look at it.
What do you need to get out of Lance these final 8 weeks of the season?
His best. You know, that what we want him to bring his best, and, you know, having him out there, being the vocal, the leader, part of it is certainly a huge part of it, getting people lined up, and then just playing as hard and as fast as that he's capable of playing, you know, as he did when we started the season.
In what ways can he be a leader? Obviously, as a younger group in the linebacking room, in some ways, what ways can he lead?
Well, he's going to lead by example about, you know, how he handles himself in the meeting room, certainly, and he does that. He was, you know, a great asset to the guys during the course of the time he was out, and then just being on the field and leading the way, you know, being in the right place, doing the things that he needs to do to get himself back to play at the level that we need him to play at.
Mark, how difficult has these first 8 weeks been on you personally and professionally with this 3-5 record?
Well, I think the record speaks for itself. It's been disappointing because we haven't played at a consistent level. I think the biggest thing right now is we're moving forward during our season to the next most important thing, and that is to get ready for Green Bay, and that's what we're doing. It's all part of the ebb and flow of being a coach at this level or any level. It's all the same. You work through the adversities and the success along the way, and you try to manage it the best way you can. And as consistently as you can, making sure that you're providing the environment for your guys to succeed on a daily basis. And that's really where my focus is. It's not on myself. It's on getting our guys and our coaches and putting them in a position that they can have success on a weekly basis and making sure that our environment's consistent to be able to get it done.
Coach, you talked about doing a deeper analysis in self-scouting of some of the slower starts you've had. In general terms, what are some of the things that you saw when you were actually doing that type of review?
Well, I think that it came down to a number of things, Dan. It comes down to play selection. It comes down to mental errors. It comes down to penalties. It comes down to those things, you know, that really are a result of things that you can control. You know, and that's what we have to assess is we have to, you know, in our assessment is what are the things that we can control to be more consistent. And there's a litany of things. I gave you just a few that every team has to do well for them to start faster.
Is there a measurement of how often on offense you have receivers open as opposed to just the jump ball situations? Is it any different than last year?
It is not. It comes down to, you know, us doing the right things, being lined up in the right places. And as I said, part of it is it's a collective effort of making good decisions and play calling as well. So it all goes hand in hand. It's, you know, one isn't more important than the other.
So are there just more times that guys are open and you're just not getting that person involved?
Well, I think that, you know, you say something like that, it's just an overstatement. Every play has its reasons.
Right.
You know, sometimes it is that reason. Other times it's a protection issue. Other times it's, you know, it's an alignment issue. It can be a lot of different things, but it's we haven't been able to overcome some of the mistakes we've made to allow us to continue drives and to score.
Mark, is there something to be gained by changing the passing point with Jay, getting him out to the perimeter more than he has? You mentioned something like this.
Yeah, I think we've talked about all of that over the bye week and how we can do some different things for him to help him, and we'll continue to work on that and see how that goes in the second half.
Specifically with that concept or idea, what is to be gained when you move a quarterback?
Well, I think it has a residual effect on a lot of different things, on the pass rush, on the passing spot, on how it applies to your run game, because a lot of times when you're moving the pocket, you know, it's relative to a play-action fake or a movement of some kind where you're faking a run and then you're moving outside the pocket. So there's a residual effect on pass rush and in the run game when you can do those kinds of things.
Do you agree with the concept of a quarterback throwing a receiver open? Do you think that's, would you prefer throwing a ball to a guy that's open, or do you agree with the idea of throwing a guy open?
I'm not sure I understand
like the back shoulder fade, the guy that might be covered actually.
Yeah, I think there's two points to that. Maybe I can give you some clarity to that. I mean, when you're facing zone coverages, you're generally throwing to a player who's not connected to a man. And so what you're trying to do is put him in the best position to catch the ball, split the defense, and make a play after the catch. So that's what happens in zone defense is you're really throwing to an open man. Conversely, when it's man-to-man coverage, you're throwing to somebody who's generally contested. And so the proper location is critically important. So that may be a back shoulder throw. That may be an over-the-top throw. It depends on where that defender's hat placement is going to determine where that throw goes. And we see that every week in the National Football League. A corner's playing high over the top in a tight bump and run. You're going to see all the back shoulder throws. You're going to see it on certainly on Sunday, you know, with Green Bay. They do a great job in man-to-man situations of identifying the nearest defender. What we don't condone is throwing it to a guy in zone coverage who's covered by a bunch of people. You know, we're not, you know, we don't get much of that. We don't do that. No, nobody does. So that's kind of the, I don't know if it answered your question, but I was able to maybe give you some content there.
You've coached the league for a long time. You know that when records go bad, people, first thing they look to is the head coach.
Sure.
There was a report over the weekend that maybe your job security isn't as strong as it once was. Have you ever felt support in the building wavering for
the support,
what you're doing?
You know, the support in this building has been outstanding. It's that's all I can say is everybody upstairs has been extremely supportive as the way we're handling things, and our team has been unbelievably compliant in doing everything that we as coaches and myself has asked them to do. It's evident on the field. It's evident in the locker room. It's evident in the meeting room that these guys are an amazing group of men that have been extremely compliant, and the support has been...
The report also said that players have tuned you out. You get a sense of that at all?
Well, I think I just, you know, in a roundabout way, I just answered that. You know, the only sense I have is how they respond to the things that we've asked them to do and the level of their energy and work ethic on the practice field. I haven't seen any of that dissipate at all. I haven't seen it in our coaches' ability to coach these guys. You know, what we haven't seen is the production on Sundays. We felt very good, and we've told our team when we did our analysis is that we are practicing hard. We are practicing with a purpose. There's some things we've asked them to do in practice to get more out of it, but in terms of energy and effort and being compliant, I couldn't ask any more of this team than what I've asked them over the not just the last 2 weeks, but the course of the time I've been here.
Mark, I know you also referenced what happened in Oakland 12 years ago in terms of the roller coaster ride. When you get into these situations, do you have to be any more diligent to make sure guys are all on the same page?
Yeah, I think that's a very good point. I think that you know, it's times like these you got to pay even closer attention to the details. You got to make sure that you know, everybody is complying at a standard that is acceptable under the circumstances. But you don't try to overthink it either. The experiences I have, you can overthink these as well. I mean, the guys know there's a sense of urgency, and that sense of urgency is Green Bay. I mean, that's really the focal point.
You talked about wanting to have a Latin
I've spent time connecting with a lot of players on the team during the course of the week, and you know, asking them the things that we can do to help them. I think there's really a proactive attempt by a lot of guys here. I think just the way they came back today is you know, there's evidence that you know, guys have spent some time thinking about this, how they're going to respond to, you know, the last 2 weeks have seemed like a much longer time. You know, Atlanta seems like a long, long time ago right now. We know that because of the way we played the last 2 weeks. But the evidence was clear today that there was energy in the building, there was energy in our room, and the guys went out and worked today. And that's all we can ask them to do. It wasn't a perfect practice. We didn't expect it to be, but the evidence was that they came back to work. We asked them to, you know, take the time off over the next day and begin to invest in Green Bay on their own. There'll be guys around tomorrow. There always are. And then we'll get started on Wednesday.
We've got time for a couple more.
Have you solicited some of that input on what you guys can do to help the players come along further? What is some of the feedback that you took away from some of those exchanges?
The feedback?
From the players in terms of the ways you guys can
help. I think one of the things that the players, you know, have said is that they have a responsibility, too. They have a sense of accountability in this as well. You know, what we try to do here is to create the environment for them to be able to be at their best each and every day, and a level of discipline and timeliness and an itinerary and the coaching side of it that's demanding enough that they know that they have to be accountable, and we have to be clear and concise in those areas when we talk to our players, particularly in meetings, that they know exactly what we expect of them, and it's something that we as coaches professionally know that they can handle. You know, we're not going to go outside of ourselves and start demanding things that are unreasonable. But we are going to be and have been demanding on things that, you know, are based on standard of performance in everything that we do.
Are there Are there tweaks to the environment in that regard?
You know, I don't think there are. I think there's reminders. I think it goes back to the one of the previous questions is I think at times like this, it's really paying attention to the details. That's not to say they don't otherwise, but this is an important time when they can, and that doesn't mean just in the classroom, but on the field as well. And it's all the little things that go into becoming big things on Sunday. That's really what you go back to. You can't pull things out of a hat. You go back to fundamentals and techniques, and making sure that the details are clear and concise for them, so they can perform at the level that you're asking them to do that at.
Did you look at things during the bye week? Did you consider at all naming captains for the second half instead of going by the week?
I think it's a good question. I had moments where we did talk about it, and I did think about it, but I felt that it's in the best interest of the team to move forward in this way. And as I told them, at some point later in the season, when the time is right, there'll be a time that we could possibly elect captains for the year, but I think it's still a fluid process with our team. We have so many new guys, a lot of young guys, in a lot of different places. I felt collectively that it's in the best interest of the team to continue to make it a fluid process week in and week out. We got a lot of guys working to help this team get better and lead.
Did the bye week evaluation reveal any of those younger guys who haven't been starting or getting a lot of reps should get more reps, maybe get started?
Well, I think that what we saw out of it is that we're going to continue to practice in such a way that we can continue to develop the young players and give them opportunity to prove that they can move up and get more time, and not just focus on the immediacy of making sure we get the guys that are going to play on Sunday ready. That we're going to continue this process of development to see where this thing takes us as we move forward. So there's always a sense that they have an opportunity to play more on Sunday.
Mark, what's your message to the fans of Chicago as you approach the last half of the season?
We understand, as I said, a week ago, we understand the disappointment that they have in our productivity over the first 8 weeks. We have a sense of urgency that starts not just in our building but outside of our building, because we know how important this team is to everybody in our community, and that this group of coaches and players are doing everything on a daily basis to put ourselves in that position where we can go out each Sunday, Thursday, or Monday, whatever it might be, and win a football game. We got to do the things on a daily basis to get it done. We can't wait for Sunday and decide we're going to play on Sunday. We got to do it today. We got to do it each and every day, and that's what we're working to do in a disciplined and focused manner. That's how we're doing it. And we got a bunch of passionate guys in the locker room who want to get it done.
Mark, Brian, you mentioned learning about some of the recent 3-5 teams that have turned it around. When you looked at some of those teams, is there anything to take, like trends, or is it just giving the team the confidence that it can be done?
Well, I think it can. We've all experienced that as coaches, where we've been in these environments and it has been done, and there's certain recent, the last year there was evidence that it can be done. 2 years ago, there was evidence it could be done. So the guys know it can, but it really comes back to Green Bay. That's what it comes back to. It doesn't come back to our record. It doesn't come back to the last 8 weeks. It comes back to, we've got an opportunity to get started, and that's this week on Green Bay. And that's really, Kevin, what we're focused to do.